Train anxiety.
Yeah, when I first started doing comedy, I couldn't even take the subway trains into the city. So
how old were you at that time, though?
17.
You're paranoid somebody was like watching you or going to sneak up behind you?
No, I just had like, I would have anxiety attacks if a train got stuck in a station.
Yeah.
I would just get too scared. I'd be too scared to do it on my own.
Yeah, but you're a New York guy, right?
Yeah, Queens.
Where in Queens again? Sunnyside.
Well, I live there now.
You live in Sunnyside now, but where'd you grow up again?
Forest Hills.
The Forest Hills Tennis Center. You ever hear of that?
Yeah. I know
that's
that.
That's where they used to have the U.S. Open.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, bro.
I might have known that at one point.
Yeah.
But I have been to that stadium. I've never gone inside. That's like where rich people...
What would you do there? Just do graffiti on the walls or what? Yeah, that water is all you.
We would in that area and just admire like the nice aesthetic.
Yeah, because I know the LIRR goes by that stop, right?
Yeah.
Is that how you used to get to Manhattan? You take the LIRR or you just take the subway?
No, the LIRR is actually like my first time going there. I was in middle school and it was this inside like the LIRR.
One of the bathrooms?
Yeah, like my friend... He said it wasn't really my friends, but this kid had like a knife and he like used it to get into the room and we just in the LIR like faculty room.
Oh, I was going to ask. Oh, yeah. So they like whip out sandwiches in there. That was really the lunchroom that you guys hotbox?
No, it was like the room was not taken care of either. Like whoever works here wasn't, it was like a bad, you know what I mean? Like it was like a storage room.
Yeah.
And we snuck in and smoked weed.
What time was that at?
That was after school. It was like 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. So yeah. It must have been bumping on the train though.
Yeah, it was daytime.
Where would you take that train to like, what was the next stop that you'd go that you'd be?
No, this was in the station. Like inside the station. Okay.
I thought it was on the train.
No. I used to have a train anxiety. Yeah, well, I guess.
Train anxiety.
Yeah, when I first started doing comedy, I couldn't even take the subway trains into the city. So
how old were you at that time though?
17.
You were just what? Like you're paranoid somebody was like watching you or going to sneak up behind you?
No, I just had like, I would have anxiety attacks if a train got stuck in a station.
Yeah.
I would just get too scared. I'd be too scared to do it on my own.
At 17?
At 17.
What was the first time it happened that like this lasted that long?
Well, it happened only one time on the train only because I kind of made it happen to myself because I had anxiety attacks prior. And then I made my realization in my head, if I was in a train and I had one, this would be like the worst place because then I couldn't leave the train and I'd be freaking out about it. So then I made myself have one on the train.
Did you manifest it?
I manifested my first panic attack on the subway and then I became afraid of it happening again and I just didn't ride subway trains for like years. Like I had to like push myself to do it.
Yeah, get out of your comfort zone. But wait, but how did it manifest itself though? It just like, was at the station for too long or what?
No, I got anxiety attacks when I was 15. Like I just developed having anxiety attacks. I never had them before. And then all of a sudden I was having them every single day. And then I had them on the train and then I couldn't take subway trains. So like, I used to have to like drive, like my friend would drive me to the city to like do shows and I would do bringers and I would like it cause I could bring my friends. I'd go with them into the city. I wouldn't want to be alone, you know? And then I had to like train myself to like, eventually, like I would make myself take one subway every day to a club and then I would go home and that'd be like my main comedy thing. But I would make myself do that at least. And now I can, like when I first, like some guy offered me to do a show in the Bronx and I was like, I can't go. I can't get there yet. I don't know.
What was your excuse?
I just said I couldn't do it. I was like, I'm not capable.
Well, didn't you take the subway to school or no?
I never had to. My elementary school was one block from my house and my middle school was two blocks from my house and my high school was three blocks.
That's the funny thing about growing up in the city. I actually went to preschool probably. I mean, my parents took me, but still it was five blocks away from 10th Street and Greenwich Avenue. And then lower school and middle school, I lived around the corner. So by the time I was like 13 years old, I was taking my skateboard to school, dude.
Yeah.
And then going to college, even though it was like 2.5 hours away, I still got homesick. It was tough.
Yeah. I would get homesick when I was a kid. Like I would sleep over at a friend's house.
Bro, I can never make it through the night.
Yeah. I would have to get
like
my
parents. My mom would have to pick me up at like 2 a.m.
And your friend's sad.
She's like, are you sure you want to stay? Yeah. Your friend thinks it's them.
To my defense, looking back, my friend did not have a nice house to sleep over at.
Me too, though. I think some of those occasions happened to me too. I just ended up being scared of the family. Which
yeah.
I don't think back then, maybe like when you and I were kids, there wasn't a lot of harp on, oh, is that like a good family that you're staying with? Is that in a good neighborhood? It was kind of like New York City, for the most part, was just like a free-for-all. Like I could go to anyone's house.
I think,
And then I think once like high school came around and my parents realized that maybe I was doing bad things in my friend's house, that's when like they started to get concerned. But before that, it was just kind of like, all right, yeah, you're in New York City. We don't know where you're at. Just be home by this time and it's cool.
Yeah. I mean,
when the street lights go off or something like that.
That was something that people, yeah. I mean, I didn't have like that kind of structure growing up. I wish almost like I was allowed to just kind of do whatever I felt like. Nobody was like looking into my life. In my family, like they were not curious who I was spending my time with. So I didn't really even have that look into it. But like the thing about going to a friend's house, did you ever have like, cause you, when you were a kid, you didn't like being at your friend's house. Cause you probably were like, oh, I don't like it here.
I just like my own bed and like my own space.
Or they were, yeah. Have you ever had it happen? Like when you were like having sex, did you like when you were starting to have sex? How old are you?
17. Yeah.
I was 21, first time. But did you ever have sex with somebody like when you didn't feel like it, but you thought you had to? Like I had sex, the second time I ever had sex, it was like a really nasty house. And looking back, I'm like, I would not have done, I would have told this.
This trap is too gross.
Yeah, I would have told the girl. Nowadays, I'd be like, I can't have sex in here because I don't like it.
Yeah, but you'd say that now?
Of course.
I would never say that, I would just fucking suck it up, dude.
No.
Wait. You'd tell the girl beforehand? You'd be like, yeah, I'm really down. And then you get, and it's about to happen, and then that's it?
Yeah.
Dude.
I would do that. Why should I have sex with you in your mess? Dude,
I don't know. I just feel like you're one of the only guys that would ever outspokenly say that. Maybe like if I started like seeing this girl and it was like 2 weeks later and she's got a big clothing chair. Because everyone's got the clothing chair, right? You got the chair in the corner and you put too many clothes on it sometimes and it piles up.
Right.
Maybe I can see myself telling a girl who I've been hooking up with for a couple weeks, hey, maybe I'll help you. We'll go through that couch chair with the clothing on it and see if we can maybe fold some of it or put it in the laundry.
I would try to say it like in a kind way.
Okay, so what was the circumstance in which this happened?
I was new to sex and I was a young guy. Do you know what I mean? Like I was new to having sex and I was young. I didn't really know things. I didn't know, which is ridiculous, that I could tell somebody even like I can't have sex here because like it's nasty or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think you really can. I don't think that's. I think you could. Thing to do, dude.
It's in my interest that I can say those things to people all the time.
Now it's good.
Yeah, I would like to stay the way. I'd like to only live comfortably.
Doing uncomfortable things.
No, like I would only want I would do uncomfortable things to push myself
to live comfortably.
But I wouldn't want to put myself. In
an uncomfortable situation,
right? To like if I'm not enjoying it,
right.
Presently, do you know what I mean?
What happened with that?
I just fucked. I mean, we did have sex,
yeah,
and I just like did not like it.
Yeah,
she thought I was gay. She like, I closed my eyes during sex, and she's like, she thought I was gay,
bro.
And I'm like, and in my head, I didn't even know how to explain. I was like 20. I was like, I wish I could verbalize it the way I can verbalize it now. Like, no, I'm not gay.
She was the same age as you at that time.
No, she was way old. She was way older. Oh, not way older, but like I was like 22, and she was like 30.
Whoa. Nah. Yeah, dude, that's way older though.
Yeah.
Guy 22, girl 30.
I guess so, yeah.
Eek.
I know, is that eek?
It's yeah.
Eek.
How'd you meet?
At like a comedy thing.
Oh yeah?
At like a show.
If she was like a comic or she was just a
At the time, yeah. Okay. I don't think she's around or I don't even know. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. But well, it's not embarrassing. It's cool, man. Older chicks.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been with an older girl?
Dude, the one time one of the crazier stories ever was I was at a Duane Reade. I was going to get a flu shot and I saw this lady in front of me picking up her prescription and I was like, oh, this girl's so cute. How can I break the ice? So I asked her, I was like, you think they have flu shots here? And she was like, oh, I don't know. You should ask. And I was like, oh, that's it. Like, that's all I got from her. And I saw on her prescription, the first two letters of her first name and the last initial of her last name, A-L and then P. So I go home, bro. And I just hammer Facebook for like 4 hours trying to find this girl. And I finally see that she has a friend in common. I message her. I'm like, hi, sorry, I know this is weird. I just thought you were really cute. Like, maybe we should get a drink sometime. She's like, haha, I'm so flattered that you found me. This is my number. This is my name, and we should get drinks. Whoa. I end up seeing this girl for like 6 months, and now she's still like a good friend. She has three kids, bro.
And you met her just like...
Yes, at 23. That was like the craziest thing I've ever done.
Dude, I have a friend from Tinder. Like, I made a friend on a... Tinder. I was her first friend because she came from the Philippines.
Yeah.
I was her first friend in America.
Yeah.
All her friends that she knew were because of me. Now she has a life. Now she like knows who she is.
But you were her first match or like friend?
Her first like.
Probably friend. Person.
Not her first match. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I couldn't seal the deal romantically and then we became friends.
And you gave her a whole life in the United States?
I gave a huge portion. Like,
wow.
Oh, everybody she
knew. What's her job?
I don't know if I should tell. Well, she's a stripper. She strips. Now she's a stripper. Yeah, but she's like really. She's not like a gross stripper. Like,
she's, right? She's a good one. Really nice. I can imagine though, dude. If you're at one of these strip clubs, like in Queens or over on the West Side, you know, on 42nd and 11th or something, man, you got to be at least pulling in like $500 a night.
Yeah, plus she
on
says
like normal nights.
She does make that kind of money, and she likes it because it makes her feel super free. Empowered.
Okay, so growing up in New York City, what do you think you did that was mischievous? Because I know, like me, for the most part, I was going around doing things that probably I shouldn't have been doing at that age.
I was skipping school, and I mean, the craziest thing I ever did. I mean, like in a story that is like, my friends and I snuck into Citi Field after hours. We climbed the fence, and we made copies of the keys that you can use to drive golf carts. He stole a golf cart key and we made copies and we climbed the fence, got into Citi Field, and then drove golf carts around after hours. It was really cool.
Drove it around the stadium or what?
Around like the station, the area.
No, there wasn't like
anybody.
There
was a guy. We were avoiding him and we were really good at it. And then
how many guys were working at Citi Field after hours though? Just one guy?
We ideally were trying to see zero, and so we only saw one.
Okay, so you knew the routes to avoid them.
I would hope that there's more than one guy.
Yeah, yeah, I would hope so too, dude. That is a large building or place.
Yeah, but we saw the flashlight, but then we gunned it, and I did stuff like that. You know, I don't know, I smoked weed at a young age, at 15, or like middle school, so like that was mischievous.
What high school did you go to?
Forest Hills High School.
Okay, what was that like?
Man.
Because Forest Hills is like a pretty affluent part of town when
it's
people
large.
Think about it. Yes,
yes. There's 4,000 kids.
In your high school?
In your high school.
Wow.
So the first day of high school, it's kind of like, it's so funny. It's so funny how this happens everywhere. Like, people go everywhere. Like, in the first day of school, I remember seeing everybody. Like, every kid. I was like, whoa. And then, like, the second day, I did not see so many of them. You know what I mean? Like,
did I just transfer that to you?
No, but I had to also.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
But it was okay. I mean, what was it like? It was, you know.
What was it? It was a big high school also, like, physically big? Like, there was a lot of different wings?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's pretty big, but they also separate. Like, if you're, like, a sophomore, you come in earlier and you end your day sooner. And then if you're seniors, then you come in way early.
But was it the same? Like, you knew that freshmen started at this time, sophomores at this time, junior. What times were those for classes?
Sophomores start at like 11 and juniors.
11?
Yeah. 11 in the, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is amazing. That's crazy, right? Wait, what about freshmen? What time do they start?
Freshmen also start at 11. You start at 11
Bro,
o'clock, something like that.
That's dope. But then would you go to like
but 4 you leave at like 5.
Yeah, yeah. That's like, a little tough.
And that's annoying.
Especially if you have sports after school and then homework after school.
Yeah. And
that
then,
would be tough.
And it's, yeah. But then when you're a senior, you come in at like 8 a.m. and you leave at like 2.
Did you play? Go ahead.
Which is also kind of depressing because like then it's 2 and then no one's out of school yet.
Yeah, it's also like, 8. That's a little bit too early for teenagers to be waking up. You know, their brain isn't even fully developed.
Sports.
Yeah. Did you play at all?
I played rugby.
Rugby? You guys had a rugby team?
Well, we didn't have a team. I just played it in school.
Like intramural, during recess?
No, like in class. Like we had a rugby class or something. It was like our gym class had rugby. Yeah. And
that's weird.
Yeah. I was pretty good.
Yeah?
I'm a pretty, yeah. I wasn't,
with
you know,
the ball?
I was great at the basketball, at shooting, until like then our team got all the way to the very like end. Like we it was like a championship thing and we like got all the way to like a tournament.
Versus other middle schools?
No, like versus our own like teams that we made in a class. Like, this is all
gym class.
Yeah, this is all.
It was never teams. You never played Forest Hills basketball.
No.
You just played recess type.
Yeah, like in gym class, like okay. What they made us do. Yeah, so nothing athletic in that.
Did they grade you in gym class?
Yeah, basically.
Really?
Just like
I never had that.
Really?
Like I never got an A in gym. They
really?
Just kind of would what talk about. And well, in lower school and middle school, they would give you like just comments.
Okay.
And say like acceptable or outstanding type. And then in high school, I went to performing arts high school. So I never had gym class after that because I went to performing arts high school to play tennis. Because I had a more flexible schedule to go like at practice at 1 p.m. And if I needed to go to places like Forest Hills, I could be out there 2 p.m. on a Wednesday when the court time wasn't super expensive.
Oh, so you would go to Forest Hills Stadium and play tennis?
Yeah. I've been to Forest Hills. I've never played in that big stadium, but I have played at Forest Hills. Yeah.
That's cool.
Quite the experience.
Yeah.
And then now I play at National Tennis Center here and there.
That's cool. The most, like, I don't know. I guess that's, I went to a summer camp growing up. That was pretty
like, at Forest Hills?
No. Well, the building was in Forest Hills.
What was that like?
But like the summer camp itself was in Long Island and like the campgrounds was in Long Island.
It was a day camp though.
It was a day camp, but like as you got older, you can like they had 10-day trips. I went to like Florida and I went to Canada with like my summer camp crew.
Where'd you guys stay? Were you just doing hotels. Like hikings? No, really?
In hotels.
Doing what?
We went to Disney World.
Oh my gosh. As like a class trip?
Like a summer camp.
For 10 days?
10 days.
Bro.
I know.
I went there with my family and their family friend for like, I don't know, I think a week. And I could not imagine going there for that long. That's a long time to be at Disney World.
I don't think we were there the entire, I think we were there for like maybe like 4 or 5 days. Oh, and
you
days.
Like went to the Everglades on the other days maybe? Yeah,
we did like a bunch of stuff. But yeah. That's like the best, that was probably like some of the best stuff I ever did in my
like memory wise.
Yeah. I would love to do that stuff again.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of friends who were in that group with you or no?
It was kind of like a big group and then like some outsider kids. And I was like one of the outsider kids.
Right.
It was like the main guys and then like the weird.
That was
dudes.
A summer trip?
Summertime, yeah.
Probably was brutally hot down there, huh?
Yes, I got dehydrated for the first time. I couldn't breathe.
You've gotten dehydrated since then? You should have learned your lesson.
I didn't get dehydrated since then. It never felt as bad. Oh, they told me I was, the doctor was like, you're just dehydrated. I'm like, this feels so horrible.
Yeah. Just the worst thing I'm ever.
Like, I have never.
Wait, you went to the doctor on.
A doctor came to me.
On the campus of Disney World?
Like in the hotel. Yeah.
No
like,
way.
It's crazy.
That must have, I wonder how much that cost.
That was the only thing my mom could give me. Growing up, like money, like if I had any kind of money memories, you know, I was still the poor kid in the camp.
Yeah.
Because all the kids that were there were also had a lot of money because that's how you can go to this camp. It's really expensive. But my mom would like, this is the one thing that I could do.
Would be,
she paid for this summer camp experience. Like, it was very expensive, I think, overall. It's just wild.
Well, that's a nice gift, though. Yeah.
Beautiful thing.
I imagine, dude, 10 days in Florida on the school trips.
And Canada and like all these cool
bucks.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you been back to Canada since then?
No.
Or Florida?
No, but I want to.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to. I know. I have to go to Israel, too. You know,
I've been to Israel twice.
Really?
Did you not go on Birthright?
No. I haven't been on a plane. The train thing? Yeah, I know. Well, I have been on a plane, just not as far, like never to place somewhere as far as Israel.
So what do you mean?
I've been to like, I went to New Orleans. That's a 2-hour flight. Like I can manage that.
So what do you mean you've never been on a plane when you say something like that? That's dramatic.
Like I've never, I'm not like a flying person.
You don't like it.
It's like how I saw myself with trains. Like I had to make myself into a guy that can get into subway trains. And now I
can't
do that.
Bro, I wonder what it is. Is it just like the enclosement of being in like a tube or something like that that just makes you anxious?
It's scary, I guess. Like you're just going far away from everything. If you're in a plane,
yeah,
you're out of your own control.
Well, that's train too, and car. If you're not
trains,
driving.
Not so much. You can actually exit a train at any point. Even if you're stuck in a subway train, you can leave. Like, I mean, it's not wise, but it's possible. Like, you're not actually stuck.
So
here.
You sometimes feel like being trapped is not the move.
Elevators freak me out. I hate the idea of being stuck in it. It would freak me out.
Did you take the stairs a lot? Like, what was the most
I walked up 21 flights. Because
you're...
Yeah.
Bro, when was that?
That was like 3 or 4 years ago.
To avoid the...
Yeah.
Since what?
Since then, I've like gotten, you know, I have more courage with this stuff. Like, I will take an elevator.
So 4 years ago, it was tough for you to take a train, even take a plane, and then also take the...
Yeah.
Elevator. Bro, good thing that you lived in New York, dude. Because all of those things would sound difficult if you lived outside of the city.
I bet I wouldn't be afraid of them, though. Or I would have a different perception on things.
Yeah, but I wonder if it was just like one situation that really jammed you up entrapment-wise, where you feel like you're stuck and you can't get out.
Dude, it was just my first anxiety attack. It was so unpleasant that I never wanted it to repeat. Because it was like, not to sound super dark or heavy or whatever, but like, It was just, so it was like I was 15 and I had never felt anything like this before. It was a feeling inside my stomach.
Was this after you had smoked weed for the first time?
No, it wasn't even, I didn't even smoke weed this particular day. Maybe I did it in my life at this point. No,
but that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah. And maybe it, maybe that, but I still.
I would hate for that to be the case.
I know. Cause then, yeah, well, cause I then couldn't smoke. Yeah. I didn't smoke weed for a long time. Actually, I was too afraid of it after, like.
After the anxiety attack?
Well,
because you thought it was related.
Not even that. I mean, this is all really effed up stuff, but this is just true. It's like I smoked and like I was having all these things. I had my anxiety attack and then like I was afraid of anxiety. I went to the hospital my first time having an anxiety attack and they just didn't know what to do. I was like a guy freaking out. I wasn't on anything. I was like, there was a pain inside me.
Yeah.
And they were like, what the fuck? I was like, ah. And then they just like restrained me down and like I was like pumping. I was like, my heart was pumping like freakishly. And then I just like slept or whatever. They like not, you know, like they made me just like sit. I woke up feeling different. Like I'm like, okay, I'm fine now. But then ever now that I experienced that, I was like, what was that? I became so afraid of that feeling that I conjured it up every single day. Then like I was in a subway train and then like I was like, this would be the worst place if this happened to me. Cause then I couldn't leave. And then the concept of not leaving a place started fucking with me. And then, I would get high and I had a friend who like smoked and then he had mental stuff and he like high school. This is a whole thing. I was afraid to smoke weed after that experience. I was a mess, dude, for like years. I was like, I wasn't even sure if I wasn't high anymore. Like I was like, am I high? Am I not high? Like is life real? I was freaking out for like years. And then like literally forced myself to go to community college just to do something to get my mind off of what was going on in my head. And then like post community college, just did stand-up comedy after that. But I didn't smoke weed for a long time out of fear. And then I was angry at myself for not being able to get high. I thought that was like a weakness. Cause like, why can't I get high? Like how come people can do it and I can't do it? That's what I thought. So I made myself get high anyway. And like made me understand why I couldn't get like what was happening when I get high and trained my brain to then now not do that. Because weed doesn't make you freak out. Weed just is like an enhancement of you. It heightens your own consciousness. And I was a freaked out guy for a lot of different reasons. So I just toughened up. Also working at Olive Garden was super helpful because I worked at Olive Garden in Queens and the guys that work there are so tough. They're like Bronx thugs.
Italian, right?
No, well, no. It's an Italian restaurant, right. but the staff is like Hispanic mostly. They're Bronx, Hispanic, tough people.
So this was right after community college?
This was after community college. I needed this. These people helped me because they were so, their lives were so rough. Like they had like dads with like heroin addicts and stuff. Like they came from gangs and stuff, you know? They were happy to be working at Olive Garden in Queens. To them, that was a big deal. That's like to them a saving grace of their, you know, what could potentially be going wrong in their lives. And they met me and all of my problems that I just explained to you, when put in their line of sight, they just thought it was so silly. They thought I was like a big pussy, you know, like they're like, cause they're like real thugs. And they're like, what are you freaking out about? You know, that's how they made me think. And then I got high with them. And if I did freak out, they would laugh at me. Like it was funny to them that I would freak out. That changed my perspective on myself.
That's crazy.
Because now I can visualize my problem as something that's hilarious to somebody, which means there's some version of life I can reach that I can potentially no longer be what I'm like, which isn't working out is how I see it. Do you know what I mean? Like I need to toughen up in some degree. These guys were tough and they helped me toughen up because they laughed at my problems. It's not always good to make people feel safe or like make them feel good if they have a problem, like pat them on the back or reassure them. Cause you just make their problem more real. Cause you just make their problem more real. Do you know what I mean? Like it isn't always smart to console people when they're freaked out. It just makes them feel validated for whatever bullshit goes on in their head. Realistically though, there could be the version of them that isn't scared, that isn't aware to them. And, sometimes mocking them. Like I would have a friend, I would be stuck on the subway train and I'd be freaked out and a bunch of my friends would console me. They'd make me feel good. Like, oh, we're here for you. We're here for you. All that did was validate my own fear. because you're here for me and I'm afraid, I'm right to be afraid because you're here for me. My friend, my other friend, I would be on the train with him and I'd be freaking out and he'd just laugh at me. He'd mock me. I'd be like scared. He'd be like, like he would like make fun of me.
Well, do you think that situation is valid in a non near death situation? Like if, let's say you had that group, same group of people and you're climbing Mount Everest.
Okay.
And this is a valid thing that people might freaking die because it happens 10% of the time if you're trying to make it to the top. Do you think that it is a different circumstance or do you think that fear should never be given a voice? What do you think?
Fear.
Because that's what you were going through.
Yeah.
Fear.
Fear.
Yeah.
Fear is a huge voice in my mind all the time. The thing is, when I'm alone, I create fear for myself because I worry a lot. And these outside sources, like at Olive Garden, for example, like gave me strength because they were not like that. They had different takes.
How long did you live there? I mean,
work there? I was like 3 years.
Three years,
yeah.
Damn, bro. So did you like climb up the ranks?
I was a host at first, and then I became a server. So kind of, yeah.
Server is better than
a host. Yeah, you make more money when you're a server because you're just a host. You just get a paycheck.
Really?
You get no tips. You're just like an hourly working guy.
I thought it could have been like stand-up. You know, you host the show.
Oh, once. No.
It's better than serving 10 minutes of jokes.
No, you just stand there amongst other three girls.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's really bad.
How much money were you making, just quickly interject?
You'd make 100 a day. It's like this, when you work at a place like that, you're like hoping to leave with like 100 a day at like a lunch shift.
That's before taxes.
That's a cash. Like you want to leave 100 cash a day and then you want to make like your hourly money. But ideally when you're closing out, you're going to leave with $100.
Not bad.
That's the ideal. Okay. I work at a place now where that's like a joke. If you make $100, like that'd be like sad because this place is better. So I've been working my way. I used to work at McDonald's. I went from like McDonald's to Buffalo Wild Wings to Olive Garden to like movie theater.
You're Mr. Corp.
Just keep doing
the day. Yeah.
It was easy. I found jobs by places near my house because I couldn't travel. like McDonald's, that first McDonald's I ever worked at was a block away from the Buffalo Wild Wings I worked at after. And then the movie theater was on that same block.
Do your managers ever see you and they were pissed?
No, I don't care. I was like fucking 16.
And they probably had switched out.
They didn't give a shit about me. In Buffalo Wild Wings, they hated me and...
Do you ever eat some of the food that was like left on the plates?
Yeah, all the time.
Did you ever take it home?
All the time.
Bro, why do you guys throw out so much freaking food in the back? Because
people order and they don't pick it up or yes. There's a mistake.
Okay, but that's a rare circumstance. I feel like at the end of the day, you're still just throwing out so much stuff. Like Dunkin' Donuts is the worst culprit I've ever seen. Like I'll walk by Dunkin' Donuts and see almost hundreds of the stuff that, I don't know, went bad or something. Like why can't that be given to... the homeless shelter around the corner or have somebody who works at the homeless shelter a few blocks away come pick up those donuts. Something like that.
In order for things like that to happen, it would have to be the person in charge is prerogative to make things like that happen. And typically people's prerogative when they run a business is just to make money and they don't really have those advanced interests in the little things. Although it would be nice and that would be the ideal situation. But the reason that things like that don't typically work out is because when people do arrive at the situation where they have say, they've been corrupted by a lot of things that took them up that way, and their ideals become different because they think, you know, you change because the world changes you. Because in order to become what you really want to be, you have to give up certain things. And so...
Oh, that was fucking deep, dude.
But I think that's true.
No, that is true.
You know,
it's simple but deep.
I thought that when I was a kid, you know, I think when you're a kid, you basically want to be a grown-up. To some degree, all of your dreams can only happen to you if you grow up. Like when you were a kid and you wanted to be a comedian or whatever, like I don't even know when you decided you wanted to be one. You could tell me, I would love to hear. But you probably like thought, you know, you want to make a special, you want to be a comedian. Like, so really what you wanted was to be like a businessman, technically. That's what a comedian is. You know, a guy on the road, he sells his album. Like that's what it really is. You know, the ideal is some fantasy, you know, some... illusion, but the actuality of being anything is just growing up and like doing shit that you hate.
I always wanted to be a performer. Probably when I was like, you know, I turned like 10 years old, I started starring in the school plays, doing improv classes.
Yeah, you were starring in them?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I was. There was a middle school play and the eighth grader got on academic probation, so he couldn't star in the role as like the lead bully. So with like 2 weeks up to the
to the play. I became, it was like Romeo and Juliet, but high school version. Something, it was more to Groot, I don't know, some bully name, bully to Romeo, but it was a fun time. So and ever since then, I wanted to perform, but I wanted to get back to the fast food jobs that you had.
Oh, sure.
When you eat lunch there or take food there, does it come out of your paycheck, or how often a week are you allowed to eat at that those particular restaurants?
Well, the one I work at now, they give you food.
Well, but that's not a, I'm talking about like the franchise type.
Oh, the franchises, yeah. At like Olive Garden?
Well, yeah, Olive Garden or McDonald's or Buffalo Wild Wings.
Olive Garden does not give, they didn't give like a family meal. That's what they call that. They call it a family meal.
What's, but like.
Family meal is like lunchtime for like the, it's like lunch for school, but for the business. Yeah. So it's like the meal for all the employees. Here's food for everybody, family meal. And like my job does that. They put out food at 3 o'clock for all people to take. And it's not like special food. It's just food. It's like rice and a meat and a salad. It's bold, you know, basic. I mean, it's nice, but
yeah, it's good.
It's you know, it's just,
well, that's all you need, bro.
Yeah. But they're not going to get a cheeseburger or steak or whatever. They're just going to get it, obviously. Cause you're just, it's like lunchtime. Olive Garden didn't do that. McDonald's didn't do that. And, Buffalo Wild Wings did not do that, but it's kind of like life where it's like, if they like you a lot, they'll give you stuff, the managers, you know what I mean? Like if you have a good relationship with the manager, you ask them for a cheeseburger, they'll hook it up. But if they don't like you that much, then you don't, you know.
Well, but what did your hour lunch break look like, or however long your lunch break was?
Well, when I worked you don't really get a lunch break at Olive Garden. Like I would just work the lunch shift and then leave. Cause I would do comedy like at night is how I would intern. So I would just do Olive Garden in the day, no break, and then just leave, no food in between.
What was the biggest tip you got at one of those restaurants?
That place, like Olive Garden?
Or Buffalo Wild Wings or McDonald's. Oh, I guess you maybe wouldn't get, well, Olive Garden, yeah.
Olive Garden.
Or I guess biggest Buffalo tip. Wild Wings, maybe you do tables too.
I think
Olive Garden.
Like 60.
Cash?
Like maybe.
What did the guy, was the guy like, what's the biggest tip you ever got? And then you said it and then he give you a bigger one?
No one like that at the Olive Garden. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's not people like that. I used to have a joke about it. It's kind of like, I feel bad saying it because it's kind of about poor people, but it's like Olive Garden is where the poor go to have nice, like they wear suits at Olive Garden. Like some people come in with suits.
Is it, they have like an Olive Garden suite at the Times Square one for the New Year's Eve ball drop. You ever hear about this?
No.
Bro, where they have tables for, since it's like right in the line of the ball drop, they have tables for thousands of dollars at that Olive Garden that people go to, which has got to be the best night ever, dude.
It's got to be. I guess that's great. So,
wouldn't that make sense, though?
Yeah.
Right in Times Square. I mean, instead of standing outside and freezing,
they double the price at the Times Square Olive Garden, I know.
For what? Just for in everything. General? That's I know.
Tour of Italy is like $13 in Queens.
What's that?
It's like lasagna, chicken parm, and fettuccine Alfredo.
But to be fair to the Olive Garden in Times Square, bro, they're paying probably rent out the wazoo.
Of course.
As opposed to the Queens one.
Well, they're an Olive Garden, so they're going to be fine, you know?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. I think that's just the same in general. Like if there was are there Buffalo Wild Wings in Manhattan?
Yes, I think so. Actually, I don't think so. I haven't seen one. I don't know.
It just might not work in the business model. It's just like the Chick-fil-A's. I'm still surprised that even in Manhattan, they're closed on Sundays.
Because there are cooler Buffalo Wild Wings versions. There's like
Chick-fil-A or
Stickies.
Oh, is that the same company?
No, but
they have one in like Penn Station. I've seen Stickies. It's like the best chicken finger you've ever had.
Yeah, you know, it's like everyone
loves the chicken. I don't know. Does anyone say that?
They do love the chicken. The people who I know that go there, and the sauce is really good.
So they love the chicken.
It's pretty popular. Yeah. Pretty popular, but you know. I like Buffalo Wild Wings too. I used to eat like 40 wings like a day. I loved it. That's my thing.
From Buffalo Wild Wings?
Yeah, like at the end of the day, like 40 wings I would just take them.
How'd you feel after eating those?
I don't remember.
I'd be like blacked out.
I didn't keep track of like, dude, I can't believe what I used to be like knowing what I know now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it's messed up. Huh?
I know. I'm like, ugh, what did I do to myself all those times? I'm probably still doing that now. Like I'm sure like a version of me will look back.
Bro, but I will say like, since I've known you within the last, like every time I've seen you, I feel like you've seemingly, I don't mean this in a negative way, but I just mean like every time I see you, it seems like you have your shit together more each time.
I really have been trying. I mean, also when you met me, I think I was in a, you know, particularly bad place, but yeah, thanks, man. I try, you know, I'm trying to do, I just, yeah, I try. Thanks. I'm trying, you know, I don't know how else to verbalize all that, but I've been seeing more I you know what I mean? Like, awareness is super important to me. I try to be the most aware person I can be, which can be like a good thing, but also it can be like super
anxiety provoking for sure. If you're aware of too much shit.
Yeah.
Especially being in places where you feel uncomfortable, like a subway or an airplane, you know?
Yeah. I feel great in subways.
Like, let me ask you this though. You ever been on a boat?
I have, but I would also be worried. Like, I did when I was younger, I was on boats and I did boat stuff with camp back before I even worried about it. Like, I never had those worries when I was younger. Like, when we did the 10-day trips to Canada, Florida, like, my brain now would have been like, man, I'll be there for 10 days. I won't be home. Like, I'll be stuck out there. Like, I'll be with these people. I can't go home. Like, that's how I would see it now. Back then, I didn't even think like that. But yes, I've been on boats. I would be more nervous now, though, because, like, now I'm on a boat.
Well, what kind of boat are you thinking about that you'd be nervous on?
Well, I probably wouldn't be nervous on, like, one of those fast boats that you can ride for fun, you know, like a jet skiing boat or whatever the hell.
Wait, a jet ski or like a legit boat?
Like a jet ski,
you'd be by yourself, so you'd have control.
Jet ski's cool.
I would think you'd be cooler with that.
I'd be cooler with a jet ski.
Yeah.
If I was on like a speed boat or whatever the hell, like a motor boat.
With another guy driving, you wouldn't like it.
If I liked him. If I knew him and he was cool. I don't know who he is. That's going to be freaking to me. Yeah. I can't just go into a boat with
some
guy.
So you wouldn't go on a cruise?
Oh my God, dude. I don't think so. It's so
heavy. All right,
would
you go on a yacht?
I know it's supposed to be awesome and safe.
Yeah,
but
just the open water. I
just don't like that I'm not a high priority at these places because obviously I'm not very important. But like, that's my issue is like, I would like to know that I'm taken care of when I'm there. Maybe that I can take care of myself, but maybe for me to what I need to be taken in my mind, I'm like, I need assurance that I can leave if I need to, I guess. Like, that helps me feel good.
Do you ever watch movies and freak out in situations like that? Like, if you watched a Titanic or Castaway, would you be like, I'm turning this off. This is just making...
I turned off Titanic for other reasons, just because it was boring.
What other... Yeah. It's messed up. When did you watch it, though?
I tried watching it like 3 years ago. I was like, let me see.
Yeah, dude, I think also our brains are spoiled to watching like a quarter of a second of something. And if we don't like it, we're flipping.
Well, I was like, why am I doing this? I'm watching Titanic.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, even if you have your phone next to you or somebody you could talk to, you're like, all right, do we really need to have this on? Or maybe I'll have this on while I'm scrolling my phone.
Do you love Titanic?
I don't know. I have no thoughts about it. I was just asking because the boat in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't really freak me out. I mean, if it happened to everybody, I'd be more comfortable, I guess.
What
if everyone's dying, I guess, like, if it's not, you know what I mean? Like,
you feel more comfortable with it rather
well,
than
I would just, well, because that's the normal fear, like the fear that we're all going to die. But if
I think going out in cold water too would be like,
yeah,
it wouldn't be so bad.
Oh, you think so? I hate being cold.
I would, yeah, but I would rather do that than burn up, you know?
I think I'd rather burn.
Really?
I don't like being cold.
Bro.
Even like a little bit.
Yeah, but I think you shut off once you get super cold. You don't shut off, I don't think, when you get super hot.
I think you'll get hotter and you'll feel comfortable at first and it'll like feel nice and then you'll feel
well, you might
hot.
Be the pro on this with being dehydrated at Disney World.
Yeah.
That's a terrible feeling, being dehydrated.
It is shit, dude.
But then I wonder if you have too much water. I wonder how that feels.
If you have too much water, that could also be bad for you. I mean, you know.
No, I know, but I wonder how that feels compared to being super dehydrated.
Oh.
Like if somebody was like, oh, I'm super dehydrated, I need water. And you're like, oh yeah, you need water? And then you just overload them with water.
I bet you feel like you're drowning. Like,
that's what I mean.
It probably feels like you're drowning inside you, which is
not
fun.
It's just like a torture method. You give someone just gallons of water. Keep drinking. Oh,
they used to do that.
The torture device.
Just drop a little drop on
bro,
you.
Bro, the world was so fucked up. Like,
it's still
even,
fucked up.
No, I know, but like now at least we can kind of manage things.
Yeah.
You know, like we have indoors. Most places have full heat. And if you don't, you'll get in trouble. But like what, 120 years ago when our great grandparents were around, bro, it's like tough. Like kids would die all the time from just birthing them. You'd go 9 months and then stillborn, it would happen so much. I just like, we've advanced so much as a society to where like things kind of make sense. I can only imagine that. Like, you know, we obviously question things as humans now. We're like, oh, well, are those aliens? Or, oh, why isn't this road this way? Like, if you just think about 120 years ago, they were being in New York City, we're wiping off the poop on the second step because there's poor shit all over the street. Just wild things like that. It's crazy to realize how far we've come. And then also in like the last 75 years, like food has been so different. And we're finally starting to realize that you can't just put all this shit in your body and be all good.
Yeah.
When we were in middle school, man, like you could think you can eat literally 40 Buffalo Wild Wings and be fine the next day.
You can. That's when what you're we in middle thought.
Right. That's also true. But our parents wouldn't think twice of telling you not to do that. You know, no. They'd just be like, oh, well, Dean's full.
Yeah, dude, my mom would give me the worst. I mean, I love my mom and I appreciate her. But when I was like in camp, my mom used to give me lunch. She used to give me pizza rolls.
Oh, yeah.
So like.
Oh, that dude, I'd be so jealous of you if I saw
that. No, dude.
But seeing that, come on. As like she would make middle schoolers.
No, because you have to understand, like she makes the pizza rolls and then like they're cooked and then she put them in like the bin for me to eat later.
What bin? You mean the box?
Like, you know, like a box, but the plastic kind. What am I thinking of, Lord?
A bag?
No, you know, like you have them in your kitchen probably, like where you put.
Ziploc.
Not Ziploc, the box version of plastic. Like.
Oh, yeah.
Where you keep all your food when you're done with it.
Bro, what's that called?
I know, right? It's going to kill me that I can't think of this word.
It's just like, it's. Everybody knows where it's just a bin. One of those.
Yeah.
Like, when it locks.
Yeah. Oh, God, we're stupid for not knowing.
A bin that's see-through with plastic on it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
My mom would
keeps it fresh.
Yeah. And my mom would put pizza rolls in there and then it would just get cold, you know? Yeah. And I would just eat cold heated pizza rolls lunch. Yeah.
That would be an issue also if you had like pizza bagels too.
Yes.
Even
not surprising
me,
I'm 120 pounds based on the diet that I had growing up.
You like eating cold.
It's not like
pizza
I was
rolls.
Having steak and greens.
Do you ever have Lunchables?
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, I feel bad for you, but like ultimately I would have been jealous for you.
Lunchables is fun.
It's just like a 300 calorie lunch. You just have the crackers and the ham slices and then an Oreo or Snickers on the side, Capri Sun.
I would drink a lot of chocolate milk. Time.
Those are the times.
That was fun.
That was great, man. That was great. Dean, we've learned a lot about you today, man.
Yeah.
Any other topics we should cover right now?
Well, we talked about work, we talked about school.
Yeah. How is family life now for you? Good?
To be honest, no. But, you know, I have a brother. I think I told you. I don't know if you know. I have a brother. I have a sister.
Yeah.
My sister and I are cool. My sister's cool. She's like oldest. We all have different dads. I don't know if you knew that. But my mom got married to three different guys and had three different kids with all of them. And she all got divorced with all of them. And the first one was my sister. You know, my sister's the oldest.
How much older is she than you?
She's like 40, in her 40s. So she's like married and she lives in Long Island. So
she's like 12 or 13 years old.
Yeah. But she's cool. She's great. She's everyone, if you met her, you'd love her. She's great. She's like she's a real estate agent and she's like super fun and good person and smart. And my brother, I have a brother. We don't talk. He lives at home with my mom. I lived with him and my mom for like all my life and we didn't talk. In the house. And it was a one bedroom apartment. And we would just be around each other and never talk. And we still don't talk. Most recent Hanukkah, I tried to say hi to him for, just to end the silence, maybe make a better situation for the whole family. And we just got into a fight. So it was pretty recent. And so we still don't talk. And my mom is like 70. And, all the dads are like out of the situation. My mom just spends her time at a volunteer center. She just volunteers at like a place next to her house.
How much older is your brother?
He's 5 years older. We don't talk. I don't know anything about him. He's not even my brother, I don't think, anymore. Like, I wouldn't.
What do you mean you don't know anything about him, though?
I don't know anything about the guy. I mean, he just lives in my mom's house. And like, how well do you know your roommates that you don't talk to? You don't know them at all. You don't know anything about them. I don't know anything about him. Even when I lived with him, we did not exchange words, and I don't know where he goes or what he does.
Was there a situation that made it that way?
He was always just, he's like, that's not with just me, that's like with the whole family. Like, he's had a hard life, but he's kind of, I don't think I deserve like the blunt of his rage.
So I imagine he's never seen you do stand up.
He has once, but like at Stand Up New York when I was like 18, back when I was doing The Bringers. So he hasn't seen like this version of me.
Which, what did he say after that?
I think he maybe was trying to be nice at the time. At the time, you know, it wasn't like it started horribly, but he just can't. We just can't get along.
Something socially that he just like deals with? Like, does he have friends that you know of or no?
When I last knew of him, he had no friends. Like, he does not get out.
Did he go to Forest Hills High School also?
He did, and he was not like super known or popular or like social. And we had very different high school experiences, him and I. I saw him until his last year because he stayed in. He hailed back a couple of times. He's not, you know, I don't want to talk badly of him, but he's only been bad to me. So like, I can't really say I like him, but he's my brother. But we haven't talked, you know, like last time I tried talking.
Do you guys ever text?
No, I don't even have his number. I don't have his number or we don't talk on, I don't have his social media. I don't know anything about him. I think we're blocked on Instagram. I'll never see him. Like when our mom passes away, I don't think we'll know each other. It's kind of the reality I've accepted. I don't think I want to. Like, what's he going to do for, he's going to take money from me if I have any. That's as much as I can imagine him doing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know anything about the guy, but I don't think he's not doing well. Sorry, Dan. I shouldn't have said that.
No, you should.
I should?
Yeah.
Okay. So
what is it? You don't know what he does for a living. You don't know what his job is.
I don't know what his job is. I don't know who he talks to.
You don't know if he has a girlfriend.
He showed me. He had a photo. He was bragging. He's like, I got a girl. Look. Like, he's so ridiculous. Like, he shows me like now I'm going to go like, whoa. Like, you have a girlfriend. It's crazy. He's crazy. You know, he's a nuts. Weird guy, you know?
And you haven't seen your father in...
Ever. It's so crazy, dude. My dad left when I was 3. He died when I was 15. He had lung cancer. And he died. So, but he lives in Israel.
Does he smoke cigarettes?
I think so. From what I was told. Okay. You know, he's Israeli, so it makes sense. An Israeli man smokes a lot of cigarettes, I suppose.
Well, they rule their own, right?
Yeah. And then so... But my friend did know him, which is very odd. Like, I had a friend growing up, Kfir, who... I knew him as a kid. We were very young. He's Jewish. And I knew his dad, Menash, you know, like he was friends with my dad. That's like the situation. But I never knew my dad. I just knew like this family. So then they left to Israel when I was like in 4th grade. Kfir went away to Israel. Didn't really see much of him anymore. I saw him more like, and then he came back when I was like 18. We talked, we chatted, caught up. He knew my dad. He didn't even know that I didn't know him. That's how crazy. He was like, dude, I knew your dad. Like he said it to me like that. He's like, I knew your dad. You didn't know your dad? What the fuck? I was like, well, tell me something about my dad. You know, like, he's like, well, he likes sausages. That's like the only information I can recall. I asked what he sounded like, if he could like do an impression. I was like, can you do an impression of my dad? What did he talk like? And he couldn't do it. He's not very good at impressions, which is the sad fact of not having a theater friend, you know, because you don't get to see impressions.
Yeah, I would have done it.
Yeah, if it was you, if you knew my dad, I could have gotten a good glimpse of him through you, you know?
So, but you didn't talk to him via, like, the phone when he was there?
We did talk on the phone, I think, one time when I was, like, 4, and I asked him where he was, and but it wasn't, like, a sad conversation. It was, like, very, like, absent of feeling. I was just like, what's going on? Like, where are you? And he's like, I don't even know.
You never sort of had any real relationship with him at all?
No, never knew him. Never knew him, but, you know.
Wow, bro.
Yeah. So with that, you know, Olive Garden people were my Olive Garden made
yeah,
me.
Dude, they were your brothers.
They made
your
me
real
men.
Brothers.
They helped me.
How
make
much
myself.
Older were they than you, those guys?
Some
the
were.
OG crew, yeah, bro.
That's what I called them.
Dude, no, you did it.
I called them the OG crew, dude. Dude, you know how many? A lot of them came to see me perform. Like I think 15 of them came at once to see me do.
Was
a
that
show.
A bringer or no?
It wasn't even a bringer.
Yeah,
I told them about the show.
You should have told the club that all those 15 were.
I know they did. They did, and they thought that was pretty cool. They're like, "Well, that's pretty," because like that nobody does that. Like that's what they told me. They're like, "Nobody gets 15." Like you got like the whole shift.
Whole audience. Yeah,
you know, you get the whole shift crew to come. They were nice people. They liked me. I liked them back.
Well, it sounds like they were pretty influential in your life, dude. Not even joking.
Yeah, there was this guy.
And how much older were they than you, by the way?
Like, some were my age and some were dads. And, like, I think, like, maybe, like, 30. Something like 30.
When you were, like, 22.
I was like, 22. They were, like, 30.
Okay.
This guy, Angel. Big inspiration. Because, like, I'm, like, so quiet everywhere I go. Even in comedy, like, I could be quiet, you know? I could walk into an environment and just, like, kind of be to myself. And Angel was never like that. And I always admired that about him. He can't do it everywhere. But he could do it in environments where he's comfortable. And he'd walk in, like, he's the kind of person, he walks in, he's loud, says hi to everybody. And if he has, like, a beef with you, like, where I am, like, the type, like, let's say I have a problem with somebody, I'm not sure how to, like, tend to it, and maybe it gets weird or awkward. He'll be, like, the kind, he looks people in the eye, and he's like, no, We are not doing this. We have to talk. I will not settle for our issues. I don't want passive aggressive behavior. Like, he just is so direct. I always admired that.
True New Yorker, right?
Yeah, yeah.
True guy from the Bronx.
I always admired that about him. I thought that was so cool. I thought I wanted to be more like that. Him and Gordon Ramsay inspire me to want to be like.
Well, that's like the opposite of anxiety, right?
Yes.
Facing it, face forward, head forward.
Lately, I've been doing things like that. I try to lean into my discomfort for the betterment, to live in more honest reality and to be standing up for myself more. I've been catching myself. Like, I go to, like, I'll have moments in my day where, like, something will happen. It maybe, like, intimidates me or scares me or something. And I'm like, I'm prone to, like, withdraw. And I notice it now. And I tell myself, well, what if I face this? What kind of reality? Because then if I withdraw, I'm like lying. I'm like withdrawing. I'm giving up what I wanted. I'm too afraid to be myself. I'm not really being honest. Nothing I do lives in an era, like an atmosphere of honesty, because I'm not being myself. Because being yourself can be so hard, because you have to, like, constantly butt heads with people all the time. It's not like being yourself is easy. They don't tell you that. Like, they, you know, you tell you be yourself, but also that means get ready to fight a lot. Like,
and get rid of a lot of people who are there with you when you're not yourself.
Yeah, because those people who are there with you when you're not yourself don't really know who you are, because you don't know who you are. So you're just getting back from what you're getting back from the world, what you give, as honest as you can be. That's as honest as you get back. So the more honest you are, the more honest of a reality that you live in. Which is why I would tell a girl I wouldn't fuck her if her house sucked. Because it's not who I am.
But now you would.
I would now.
Clean up your apartment.
Clean up your apartment.
Ladies and gentlemen. Dean David, dude, thank you so much for coming on the pod. You were an open book, man. And yeah, like I said, man, I feel like every time I see you, you're getting your shit together more and more. And then, don't mean that in a negative light at all, but you're working at all the clubs, and it's great to see you, dude. You were, you're really killing it, dude, for real.
Thanks, dude.
Always good to see you. So before we get out of here, we're going to pop up your Instagram. Let us know where we can find you. This will be out on Monday, this coming Monday. So please let us know.
Yeah, guys, it's DeanDavid95 on Instagram, and Aggressively Chill Comedy also on Instagram. If you guys want to give it a check, you know, check it out every Tuesday night,
right?
Every Tuesday night.
Nice.
Run a show in Brooklyn.
Love it.
It's inexpensive and fun, and you know, just, we always get funny comics and we have a good time. So you're welcome to join us. And I post a lot on IG shows I'm doing, so keep up with me there.
Amazing. Dean, you're the man, dude. Thanks so much for coming on. Guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Peace.